Join me, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 15. We're talking about kingdom. We're in the Kingdom Power series. And we've been talking about things like the importance of relationship and fellowship. We do that through small groups here at Zion Fellowship, as well as the corporate gathering like this. And we've talked about how recognizing the power of the kingdom of God that is invested in those kind of meetings. In other words, God wants to reveal His glory, reveal His power through His people. And the way He does that is through large group and small group meetings. I love the Bible verse that says, if two or three of you gather together in my name, I come to that meeting. How many of you are just so glad that if two or three of us get together and we start talking about Jesus, He says, I'm coming too. Isn't that wonderful? That's just a wonderful revelation in the Word of God. That, you know, you can be there with your wife having early morning devotions, and know what? Jesus says, hey, I'm coming to that meeting too. Can I come in? How many of you would ask Him to leave just because it's you and honey? You know, no, oh, come on in, Jesus. And how many of you know that when Jesus comes to a meeting, now you have a meeting? See, if Chris Wood comes to a meeting, you don't necessarily have a meeting. But if Jesus shows up to your meeting, you've got a meeting, okay? So we talked about the importance of that and how God wants to reveal the kingdom of God through His people. And so each of us has an opportunity to be a witness and a testimony to the goodness of God. Then we spent some time just talking about stewardship and how stewardship reveals the kingdom of God. And we talked about stewardship at a whole lot of levels. We talked about it in regards to our gifts and our abilities and using them in such a way that God is honored through my obedience. In other words, if I'm gifted in a particular area, say in the area, for instance, Laura playing music and being able to sit down at a keyboard, how many of you know that not all of us in that room can do what Laura did today? I know I can't. And so, but when Laura does that and she is obedient to the Lord and she sits at the keyboard and she leads us in worship, she is being a steward of the gift that God has put in her life. And every one of us is gifted differently. How many of you are glad for that? How many of you know that not all of us can do what Rick does with those flags? I think I would break myself if I did. But here's the deal. He is just being obedient to the gift that God has given him. And as he releases that obedience to the Lord, how many of you know that Rick is not doing that for show? He's not doing that for us. Neither is Laura. They're doing it in obedience to the Lord based on the gift that's in their life. And the result is what? How many of you get blessed by it? Amen. I get blessed by it. I know that for sure. So, you know, if all of us recognize that we're all gifted differently, we all have different talents, different abilities, and all we have to do is to be obedient with what God's given us. And if we are, then not only is God glorified, but others are blessed. And so we talked about that a lot. Now, last week we started talking about prayer and the importance of prayer. So I'll bring your attention to the notes that were in your bulletin. Did everybody get one of these? If you didn't, do we have some extras? Make sure you do get them for you to not only follow along with what I'm going to be talking about today, but then to be able to take home and study a little bit more in depth. Last week, we started talking about, in this Kingdom Power series, kingdom prayer and the importance of prayer in the life of a believer. And we talked about, you know, a lot of people have a lot of different definitions of prayer, a lot of expressions of prayer. We talked about intercession. We talked about, praying for individuals. We talked about all of the dynamics that is kind of surrounding the idea of prayer. But my purpose last week was to talk about the importance of having a rhythm in your life. I called it the rhythm of prayer that every believer needs to discover. And we use the life of Jesus to actually see how Jesus had a rhythm to his life, that prayer and relationship with God was central to everything that he did. And as a result of that, there was a rhythm to his life. There was a flow to his life. And I am convinced that every one of us is given the opportunity to enter into that lifestyle of prayer, that rhythm of prayer that then opens the possibility for us to enter into the fullness of all that God has provided for us. I believe the vehicle of prayer is that vehicle. And so we looked at John chapter 15. So if you'll get there with me, John chapter 15, and we'll start reading in verse 4, just to remind ourselves of the text that we looked at last week. And then I just want to continue to talk about prayer, okay? John chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 4. I know your notes say verse 5, but I think 4 brings it into context a little bit better. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And so Jesus is basically saying the key to fruitfulness in living, or the key to a productive life, if I could say it another way, if you can't relate to the idea of fruitfulness, let's talk about being productive in life. He says, the way to be productive in life is by being in a relationship with me. That's what he means by saying, abide in me. He says, it's out of being in relationship, continual relationship with me, that your life becomes productive, that your life has meaning. I am the vine, you are the branches. I'm in verse 5. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, or is quite blessed. It would be another way to say that. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, in other words, if you're not in this relationship with me, if you don't know me, if you're not pursuing a relationship with me, there's not going to be a whole lot of productivity in your life. There's not going to be a whole lot of fruit in your life. He said, an unfruitful branch in the realm of horticulture is gathered up and thrown into the fire. Why? Because it's unproductive. It's not worth anything. And so he's saying the way to add worth into your life and productivity into your life is through relationship with me. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, verse 6, and withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words, now this is key, I want you to circle it in your Bibles if you write in your Bibles. If my word abides in you, you will ask, now we're talking about prayer, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Look at the two key things that he says before he even mentions the idea of prayer. He says, you need to be in relationship with me. If you abide in me, you need to be in relationship with me, and my words abide in you. So you need to be in relationship with me, and you need to be in relationship to my word. Isn't that powerful? How many of you are so glad for the Bible? Amen. How many of you would agree we need to read our Bibles more? Because Jesus says, here's the key to an effective, productive prayer life. Be in relationship with me and be in relationship with the Word of God. Amen. So if you're not reading your Bible, you ought to start. Because Jesus says this is a key to having a fruitful and prayerful life. Last week I said that prayer is the place of abiding in Christ. It's a place of being in relationship with Christ. A lot of times when we talk about prayer, we simply hang around the idea of communicating with God. And that is one idea of prayer. It is a communicating with God. But if you miss the other dynamic of abiding, and that being communion, so it's communion and communication, you need them both. It can't just be a one-sided conversation. How many of you enjoy one-sided conversations? Especially if you're on the end where you're not saying anything. Those are tough conversations, aren't they? I think that's called a lecture, okay? How many of you love lectures? I don't think I got one affirmation right there, okay? So that's why sometimes when I'm preaching, I ask you to talk back to me because I want communion with you, okay? All right, there you go. So this is my amen section right here. Thank you, love, for being my amen section. Okay, all right. Here's the point. The point is when we are living in that place of abiding in Christ and connecting with him in the Spirit, the thing that begins to happen through abiding in God and abiding in his word, what happens is in our prayer life, our spirits are energized. And as we are energized in two realms. We're energized in the realm of loving God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And from that, we are enabled to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept. This is what prayer is all about. Prayer is not about you showing up with your list and saying, God, if you got some time, I got a few things here that are on my mind, and so take a seat. This is going to take a while. No, prayer is communion with God, to the point that in that abiding relationship, as I encounter his presence, not only in his presence, but in his word, my spirit, my inner man is energized. And the more time I spend in the presence of God, guess what I've learned? The more time I want to. Are you with me? You know, sometimes we say, well, I just find it hard to find time to pray. Listen, find some time to pray, and if you encounter God and you encounter his presence in a life-saving way, what will happen is you will want to spend more time in his presence. And as a result of that, the inner man, your inner man, my inner man, is energized, and guess what starts happening? I start loving God more, and I start loving the people around me more. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be listening to him right now. So that's the place, that's what prayer is all about. This morning, I want us just to talk for a little bit about, if that's what prayer is all about, why does God want us to pray? Or why does God use or choose the vehicle of prayer? Why are we called to the place of prayer? And so it says, if you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will or what you desire, and it shall be done for you by this. Why? By answering prayer, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now continue on with me. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Again, here's that invitation to come into relationship with God. If you keep my commandments. This is, where do you find the commandments of God? In the Word of God. Okay, so here's another reference to abiding in the Word of God. Okay, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken. Now watch this very, very carefully. These things I have spoken to you that, what? My joy may remain or abide in you, and that your joy may be partial. So what is the fruit of relationship and abiding in the Word of God? Joy, a real joy. Not only your joy, but he says, I'm going to take my joy and put it in you so that your joy might be full. Do you get that? How many of you know that when God says, I got some joy to put in you, there's some joy that you don't have? And how many of you know that God's joy is probably just a little bit bigger than your joy? And he says, I have so much joy. What is the joy that God is referring to here? Okay, someone says the joy of the Lord. Absolutely right. Okay, what is the joy of the Lord? The fruits of the Spirit. We've all been to Sunday school. Very well. You're missing the point. He says, my joy is full when you come into relationship with me. That's what makes my heart glad. That is so important for you to see. You know, because some of us have this perception of God that is just so completely wrong. Do you know that it brings joy to the heart of God when you make the decision to abide in his presence? He actually is happy about that. Rick, he's happy. The God that we're talking about is a happy God. We're not talking about some taskmaster up there just waiting for you to step out of line so he can hit you with a lightning bolt. He's like, oh, if you would come into this relationship with me, the first thing that you would experience is my joy over you. I love you. I have joy over the thought of you. And when you come in and you encounter the joy that I have for you, guess what happens? Your joy becomes full. See, most of the time, folks, when we talk about joy, we're talking about joy that is the result of external things that happen in our lives. And that's the best that we get when it comes to joy in this life. And Jesus says, I have a much deeper joy that I want to give you. It's how I feel about you. And no one can take that from you. How many of you know that if your joy is locked in material things, then as soon as you lose material things, so goes your joy? If your joy is wrapped up in the approval of other people, what happens when they don't approve of you? You lose your joy. But when you encounter the God of the universe who loves you and he's actually excited about you, and he has joy in his heart regarding you, and you encounter that joy, guess what happens to your joy? It goes to the ceiling, and then nobody can take that from you. No one can, and that's what Jesus is talking about. But he's saying it happens, that reality happens in the place of prayer. So why does God want us to pray? That's the question. And I believe God wants us to pray because he wants us to connect with his heart in a deep partnership with him. See, that's important that you hear that word, because a lot of times when we talk about relating to God, we talk about that, and as we should, in the realm of being in relationship with God. How many of you know it's important to talk about being in relationship with God? But we need to go deeper, guys, because God, not only does he want to be in relationship with you, he wants to be in partnership with you. There's a distinction there that you and I need to grab a hold of. It's not just about relationship. Relationship is important with God, but he says, no, it's in the place of prayer that not only do you learn how to relate with me through abiding, but you learn how to partner with me. Now watch, go back to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. That is a statement of partnership. You will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. And by this, what? By the answers of prayer in your life, my Father is glorified. Are you tracking with me? And so prayer, now how does this happen? Well, he says two things. He says, abide in me and let my word abide in you. So here's the first thing that we need to recognize. That when God calls us into this thing called prayer, why does he do it? Because he wants us to not only relate to him, but be in partnership with him. Are you with me? Okay, so when we do that, where do we start? We start by being in the Word of God. And when we're in the Word of God, guess what happens? Here's the genius of this thing, okay? As I spend time in the Word of God, as I spend time reading the Word of God, it begins to become internalized in my inner man. It begins to take root. It's like seed being planted in my inner man. And you know, when the seed of God's word is planted in me, the Bible says that it takes root and it begins to bring forth fruit. Okay? Now here's the thing. As the word of God is internalized in me, guess what? I begin to understand the heart of God. I begin to speak God's ideas back to him as I am reading the Word of God. And what that does is that marks my spirit. The Word of God actually marks my spirit. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And when I enter into this thing called prayer, I enter into relationship and partnership with God. And his Word begins to abide in me. It marks my spirit. And when my spirit is marked by the Word of God, two things happen. Now get this. This is very important for you to see. Two things happen. Number one, my mind is enlightened. By that I mean, I begin to understand the ways of God. My mind becomes alert through the Word of God to the heart of God. And secondly, when I begin to understand the heart of God, guess what happens to my heart? It gets tenderized. I become soft towards God. Any of you ever had to deal with a hard heart? Once or twice. I mean, things happen in life, don't they? I mean, stuff happens. People say things. You know, people drive over your toes and stuff like that, you know. And your hard hearts happen. But I'm telling you that God knows that about the human experience. And he's saying, oh, but listen, I know how to deal with a hard heart. You know how you deal with a hard heart? You don't slap a hard heart upside the head. You know how you deal with a hard heart? Through the Word of God. And he says, when you will meditate on the Word of God, when you will read the Word of God in relationship and partnership with me, not only will I begin to illuminate your mind and begin to help you understand my ways, but I'll also tenderize your heart in the process. The second thing I want you to understand, why does God want us to pray? Because God, asking God everything, is the foundational principle of the kingdom of God. Asking God everything. We must be specific. We must not lead out of frustration. But what instead, God has invoked this principle over his kingdom that if we as his children will come to him as a father and ask of him, the thing called prayer is put in motion. Everything, the foundational principle in the kingdom of God is related to asking God. Now, here's the thing that I've had conversations with people. I've had people say to me, well, why do we have to pray? Isn't God sovereign? Hasn't he just kind of set things in motion? Isn't it just all going to happen anyway? To which I would say, in part, you're right. God is sovereign. He has determined the primary events of his eternal plans. And guess what? Whatever God has determined, he will accomplish. How many of you believe that? But here's the cool thing. He has allowed us in partnership to enter into this dynamic role of determining some of the measure of the quality of life that we experience in the natural and in the spirit. Now, let me explain that to you. What I mean by that is even though God has determined the course of human history, he has also at the same time invited us into partnership. And there are doors that he desires to open, but he waits until we ask him to open them. So there are doors of blessing that he is just waiting, Rick, to open. And yet he waits for Rick to say, Father, would you open that door of blessing and release over so-and-so's life? And as I come into dynamic partnership with him through abiding in the Word of God, he begins to release blessing as a partnership with himself and me. He also will close doors of oppression, but he waits for us to ask. Oh, I just think it's so bad that this is going on in the world and this is happening in the world and I wish it would stop. And he's going, ask me. I'm waiting for a partnership. I'm waiting for someone to partner with me. I too agree with you that that should not be happening. I am a God of justice, but I am looking for someone who will partner with me and just ask me to shut that door of oppression. And so... this is what I'm talking about. Everything in the kingdom of God, the foundational principle, even though God is sovereign, he looks for a partner who will ask. I'm telling you, if you're not getting excited about prayer now, I don't know what's happening to you. Your neighbor needs to pinch you. Here's what I'm saying to you. There are blessings that God has chosen to give, but he withholds them until we ask. And you know why he does that? Now listen, this is going to kind of sound backwards to you, but he does that to protect the relationship that he has with you and me. If he just did things sovereignly, then there would be no need for this relationship, would there? But in order to protect the relationship that he desires to have with us, is he precipitates situations and it necessitates you and me entering in and asking God to intervene. God, would you intervene in my child's life? Would you intervene in my wife's life? Lord, according to your word, you said that you would do this on her behalf or his behalf. And Lord, I'm asking you, according to your word, would you move in now and release your peace and your power over this situation in their life? And you know what? God loves that kind of partnering. Amen? You say, well, I don't even know how to pray those kind of prayers. I don't know where to start. You know where you start? Right in the Word of God. If you don't know how to frame a prayer like that, go to one of Paul's apostolic prayers where he prayed for the early church. Those aren't prayers just for Colossians or Ephesians. Those are prayers to be utilized by every believer in relationship with God and with one another. In other words, we've been praying for the last year or so. We've been praying out of Ephesians chapter 1, and this is what we've been praying. God, we are asking, Father of glory, we are asking you to release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. And we've been praying it for the churches and the believers in this region. How many of you know that you can pray that over your children? You can come and as you're praying for your kids, you can pray, God, I pray for Matt. And I ask God that in this time of his life, as he is traveling around the world doing business, Lord, I pray that even as he is traveling, that you would give to him a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. How many of you know that God's going to answer that prayer? Because it's in his word, and I'm coming into partnership with him in it. Are you with me? So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about, and that's why prayer, now look in your notes, it is a brilliant strategy because it draws us into intimacy with God's heart and it unifies us with God's people as it humbles and transforms us. It's brilliant, isn't it? See, how many of you have ever seen prayer in that light? Prayer is meant for us to be unified with the heart of God and with one another. You say, well, Chris, how does that happen? How many of you know that if Diane and I come into agreement about what God's word says in regards to any situation, suddenly we're working on the same plane? And we're working together as we are working with God. And so divine partnership with God actually brings Diane and myself into partnership. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. When we're praying the word of God, we can come into agreement because it's not based on my opinion anymore, is it? Hear me. We are not called anywhere in the Word of God to pray our opinions. You know why? Because your opinion, do I need to say it? Your opinion may matter to you, but it doesn't really matter to God. Why? Because He is the sovereign of the universe. And here's the other thing. How many of you know that even before you voice your opinion, He already knows what your opinion is? Isn't that scary? The psalmist says, before it even comes to my lips, you know it, oh God. Therefore, why share your opinion? God already knows it. What's more important? To know His opinion on a matter. And then to partner with that, okay? And the brilliant strategy is as we come into this, we begin to see ourselves in light of who God is, and it humbles us and at the same time transforms us. And that is the transformational nature of prayer and abiding with God. Now, there's three things that I didn't get to last week that we're going to get to right now because Joan told me I cannot give you notes with blanks and not give you the answers. How many of you went away? How many of you administrators went away frustrated last week because I didn't fill in the blanks? Okay, well, I'm going to fill in the blanks right now real quick, okay? The blanks are no come access. Did you get that? Blank number one, okay. We pray to, or we pray in order to know Him and understand His ways. That's the first blank. Second blank, and then we're going to go back and see how much more of this we can cover, okay? We pray to come to the point where we catch His heartbeat and His purposes. This is why we pray, okay? And number three, we pray, now watch this, this is the most exciting part of this, to access His kingdom power and provision for our lives. So we pray to come, we pray to know, we pray to come, we pray to access. You got it? Okay, let's talk about we pray to know, okay? Here's what I want you to understand about this. Your concept of God colors the way you pray. How you see God. Cultivate. Now, here's the important point that I want you to get. Cultivating a right view of God will cause your prayer life to become more fruitful. Seeing God for who He really is. Not seeing God for the result of the circumstances in your life, but seeing God for who He is. Now, how do you find out who God is? Through the Word of God. It brings you right back to the Word of God. A right concept of God will make your prayer life far more productive and fruitful. A God concept. So you say, well, what is a God concept, Chris? It is those the combination of the images and the feelings and the thoughts that you have that bring to you an understanding of who God is. Now watch this. If you see God as a taskmaster forcing you into the place of prayer, are you going to find any enjoyment in prayer? But there's many people who pray simply because they've been told that's what a good disciple does. So pray. Now enjoy it. Because Because if you don't, God will get mad at you. And if he gets mad at you, there's a possibility that it'll be carryover and he'll get mad at me. So pray. And enjoy it. You see, your concept of God. But Chris, what if I'm praying and I have a bad thought? Has that ever happened to anybody? Okay. What do I do then? I don't know. I have no idea what you do. But no. Here's my point. If you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, the likelihood of bad thoughts diminishing in the place of prayer is really, really high. I think one of the reasons why we become so distracted in the place of prayer is because we're doing the first part, but we're not doing the second. We're coming in out of relationship, but we're really not communing. We're coming in out of partnership, but we want him to partner with our will instead of us partnering with his. And so we come in and we're really, really distracted. Is that okay? Did I just step on anybody's toe? I think I did, and you wouldn't even admit it if I had. Okay. Are you with me? When we come into the place of prayer, if it's his word that is the foundation and the base, I'm going to begin to have victory over those things and those thoughts that are contrary to his will and his way. That's why the Apostle Paul said, listen, you need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to what? Christ. All right? And so it's in the place of prayer that we begin in partnership to know him and begin to develop a concept of God. That concept, your concept of God, will be the filter or the lens to everything that you do. And so this is vitally, vitally important that we see this reality. Number two, we pray in order that we would come to the point where in prayer we actually catch his heartbeat and his purposes. See, as a believer, I'm not called to be a mime of Jesus. I'm called to connect with his heart, to connect with his emotions, and to know what moves the heart of God. So much so that whatever moves his heart moves my heart. And that can only happen, folks, in the place of abiding. It can't happen with more study, although study helps. It can't happen with another degree in theology. That might help a little bit. But connecting with the heart of God, the emotion of God, is something that happens in the secret place, in the abiding place, in the place of communion. And so we pray to gain his heart so that instead of me entering into the place of prayer with my prayer agenda. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that prayer lists are bad. They serve a purpose. But so often when we approach prayer based on our own personal agenda. And we come to the place of prayer and we almost approach God as if we're coming with our grocery list. And we say, well, God, I'm so glad that we're here today together because there's a number of things on my heart that you need to know about. Okay, again, light go on. He already knows. How much more effective your prayer life will be if you come into the place of prayer and you say, God, you already know what's on my heart. Therefore, I'm going to leave that to be, as we heard, secondary. Right now, I want to know what's on your heart. Now think about this. All of us are under the pressure of an upcoming election. Am I right? How many of you are asking God what his heart on the matter is, as opposed to praying about your favorite? Are you tracking with me? I've been coming before the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, you hear what they're saying on TV. You've watched the debates. What do you think? What's on your heart? That's not to say that you shouldn't be making up your mind and be making good decisions, but How much more insightful will your decision be if you're asking God his heart on the matter? Are you tracking with me? So we pray to come to the place where we catch his heartbeat and his purpose. It's all about listening and catching his heartbeat, which brings me to the third point in your notes. It's about access as well. So it's not only to know him, and it's not only to catch his heart, but then to the matters that are important to us, there is a point in prayer where we get to access his kingdom power and provision for life. Here, this is the place where I come and I lay my needs before the Father. And I lay them before the Lord because it concerns him, because it concerns me. Why? Because we're in partnership. Are you catching it? So there is that point where I begin now to, in prayer, access the power of God for my needs. In 2006, iPods were kind of coming on the scene big time. And they were the number one Christmas gift in 2006. How many of you received an iPod in 2006? How many of you even remember 2006? Well, here's why I'm bringing this up. In 2006, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people received iPods as a gift along with the gift card to start downloading, okay, music free onto their iPod. And so Christmas Day 2006, this is what happened. As people began to open up their Christmas presents and see their cards, they began to utilize those cards. And on Christmas morning, they began to redeem their gift cards. And as a result, the traffic to the computers at Apple became so overburdened with the demand that many people, they're all excited and they're tapping in and they're getting back from the Apple computers, no access, no access, no access. And some who actually got access had to wait 20 minutes to actually get the download, to which Apple said, the store was working, we just weren't prepared for so much traffic. Now, here's the thing I want you to hear. God is never overwhelmed with the demand. Have you ever sat and thought about it? Think about it, okay? There's probably like maybe, what, 150, 160 of us in this room, okay, right now. How many of you understand something about the nature of God? That if we all right now began to engage in the place of prayer and we all at the same time began to access the power of God, that God is not going to be overwhelmed. That he's going to be able to answer every one of the prayers that are being offered. I want you to remember that, because God is never overwhelmed with your demand. He is never overwhelmed. He doesn't say, oh, you know what, no access. You're going to have to wait 20 minutes for that download because, you know, Kyle just asked me for a whole list of things. And he beat you to the punch, Chris. Sorry. Just, you know, go to the waiting room. Just kind of overwhelmed here. God is never overwhelmed, okay? Now here's the point. I want you to turn. This is where we're going to begin to close. I got a great illustration for you. 1 Peter. Would you turn there with me? 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. Are you there? Okay. Almost done. Listen to this. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who's he talking about? He's talking about anyone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who is a child of God. Anyone who's a Christian, who's a believer, and has accepted the reality that Jesus Christ died for their sins. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And today stands in a place of authority. The Bible says that he has taken your unrighteousness and imputed to you the righteousness of his Son. Therefore, the Bible is talking about you right now. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It says, that's me. That's me. Go ahead. You can claim that. You can claim that. That's me. Okay, why can you claim that? Why can you claim that? Because I said so. No, not because I said so. Okay, that's all right, too. Because it's in the Bible, because God said so. I can believe that. I can come into the place of the prayer as the righteous of God. Even if I don't feel like it because of what Jesus did, I am. And guess what? As I come into the place of prayer, guess what the Bible just told me? What did it tell me? He's looking at me. Think about that right now, just for a moment. Think of the reality of that right now. He's looking at you. Susanna, he's looking at you. Not just Scott. You know, Scott looks at you all the time. We've seen that look, by the way. But God's looking at you too. And listen to, nobody got that except Scott, I think. Okay. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now watch this. And his ears are open, what? To their prayers. Now here's the illustration. She's going to hit me after the service, but I'm ready for it. Anna and a couple of her girlfriends came home from college this weekend, to my delight. Yay. Friday they showed up, and we're sitting in the kitchen, and this was so beautiful. I really love this. And the three of them are sitting around, and Anna looks at me, and guess what she catches? She catches my glance. My eyes were on her. Why? Because she's my baby girl. And she's home from college. And she says, hey, Dad, you know what we would like? We would like for you to order some pizza for us and some wings because we have friends coming over. And I said, I can do that. She said, awesome. She said, also, you know what? I haven't had a good Reuben sandwich in a long time. She said, while I'm home this weekend, would you make us Reuben sandwiches? To which one of the other girls says, what's a Reuben sandwich? And I said, oh, you'll like it. And I said, yeah, absolutely. So I wrote a list. And she says, oh, and by the way, at the same time, do you think you could make that dish that Ben makes, that gemelli dish, that Italian dish that we all love? And I said, oh, absolutely, honey. So I made the list of all of her requests. Okay, now we're in partnership, and she looks at me, and she says, Dad, I'll go buy it. I said, awesome. She says, but I'll need your credit card. Now, here's a girl who understands access. Now, watch, partnership. She and the girls got in the car, to their delight, went and bought everything that we needed to make those meals. Came home and delivered it, and who cooked the meals? I did. And who ate the meals? They did. Okay, so my point, what a great illustration. Guess what? They caught my gaze, and my ears were attentive to their prayers. Their prayer was anything but cafeteria food. Anything home-cooked will do. Anything. Oh, yeah, and I forgot, we also had breakfast in the morning with waffles and bacon and all that good stuff. And that was on their request sheet as well. The point that I'm making, and I want the reality of this to sit in, is because you are the righteous in Christ, not only are his eyes upon you, but his ears are attentive to your prayer. Now, here's the access. He will pull out, now watch, he will pull out his visa. Watch, and let you spend kingdom resources for his glory. Nothing made me happier than to cook for those girls. And not only did it make me happy to cook for them, but it gave me great joy to watch them eat and be satisfied. That's how God is with you and me. When he invites us into partnership, he says, hey, I'm looking at you. I'm listening. Why? Because you've chosen me first. See, the first thing Anna did when she walked in the house, you know the first thing she did? Besides going to her room and dropping off all of her stuff, then she turned on her heels, came back. Guess who got the first hug? Even though her grandpa was there, I got the first one. Okay? When we choose to put God first in our lives, when we choose to be in that place of abiding, when we choose to really listen and abide and meditate on His Word, when we choose to know Him as He wants to be known, not only do we come into a place of better understanding, but we come into that place where we begin to understand His heart. And from the place of understanding the heart of God, we start asking differently. We start praying differently. We have access to the kingdom. And as a result of that, He begins to answer. And we begin to see answers in our prayer life like never before. So I want to encourage you in your prayer life. I want to encourage you. Now, in your notes, and I'm not going to get into it today, but I think it's all self-explanatory. You say, okay, Chris, where do you start? Look in your notes at the back of your notes, and you'll see where it says conclusion inside the folded. One of the most substantial ways in which we can bolster our prayer lives is by feeding on the Word of God. And so if we're going to be a house of prayer, and I believe that's what God's called us to be, a house of prayer, what we have to do is we have to begin to foster a culture of prayer. And the way that we foster that culture of prayer is not only in communion with God, but in communion with His Word. Okay, so I want to encourage you to study the rest of the notes when you go home, either today or the rest of the week, because it's all there spelled out to you. But the effectiveness in prayer is, I believe, dynamically connected with the time that you spend in the Word of God. And so that's where I'm going to leave you here this morning with that idea. You can study the rest of it out for yourselves this week. You can study it in your life groups when you gather and talk about it a little bit more. That's what we're going to do in our life group. And I trust you got something this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand to our feet. Can we do that? How many of you want to just see more productivity in your prayer life? More effectiveness in your prayer life? Amen. Is this kind of a simple formula that God has put before us? Yes? Abide in me and let my word abide in you. And whatever you ask, I'll do it. Amen. You got it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for being able to gather this morning like this in your name. And I thank you for this group of people. I know, God, that there are mighty prayer warriors in this room today, people who love you and love the place of prayer. And Lord, I just ask that no matter where we are in our journey, that, Lord, you would take us to the next level, that you would, in the realm of prayer, in the realm of communing with you, in the realm of getting into the Word of God and growing in the Word of God, that you would take us to another level. And, Lord, you would take us deeper in truth. You would take us deeper in relationship. That, Father, we as a house, we as a church, would not only be a house of prayer, but there would be such a culture, there would be such an atmosphere of intercession in this house that we would see greater breakthrough in our community. We would see greater breakthrough in our region because we have chosen to partner with you, gain what's on your heart, and prayed back to you what you've already declared you want to do. And as a result of that, Father, we would see more people saved, we would see more people delivered, we would see more things put in order that are out of order simply because we enjoy the place of prayer. And so, Father, I ask right now today that you would mature every one of us because we want to see a release of the kingdom of God on the earth today, even as it's being done in heaven. You said we could pray this way, Father, so we do. Father in heaven, we hallow your name. We bless the name of God and we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And may you receive all the glory and may you receive all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.